Thank you very much for all those admonitions. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's everyone take your Bible there. And just for a few moments, I want to share with you a quick thought, a little bit about friendship. Being a good friend. You go about to try to get friends and you're going to find yourself very lonely. You go about to be a friend, you're going to find friends will abound. But friendship is not cheap, and it won't be garnered with just a casual observation and casual commitment. Friendship will be tested. It takes love to be a good friend. And Apostle Paul experienced that. He was writing to Timothy. He's in jail, and this will be the last time he'll be in prison. He is waiting to go to court for the second time. He got out for a little while between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and quickly was arrested and brought back to Rome. Now he's not in a rented house. He's in the Mamertine prison, most likely. There awaiting. He has already been to court once, and the Lord delivered him out of the mouth of a lion. He writes to Timothy, says, Timothy, come, do your diligence to get here before winter. Make sure you get my coat. Bring the Bible, and also bring the other parchments and the other reading, the books. I want to read those too. Teaching us to keep learning as long as we're alive. And he said only Luke is there with him, and all the other guys have gone to different places, some for beneficial things, some like Demas, having forsaken me, having loved this present world. You guys always got to deal with this worldliness. This world has got a strong attachment to you and I. And we want to make sure that we stay above reproach in how we live. And be careful, because the world is very aggressive for your attention. And Demas fell victim to that. Having loved this present world, he departed back to Thessalonica. He's not really interested in continuing ministry. And unfortunately, you'll see that from time to time. But Apostle Paul writes this challenging book to him. He challenged him personally in chapter 1, practically in chapter 2, in perilous day challenge, chapter 3, and a parting challenge in chapter 4. In chapter 1, he challenges him about his heritage and his legacy with his mom and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. He challenged him about Apostle Paul's putting his hands on him and loving him and helping him, and the gift that the gift that God had given him, to stir up that gift and not neglect what God had given him to do. And then he begins to tell him, don't be ashamed of me, your leader. Even though I go through difficult times, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of what I taught you. Don't be ashamed of how I conveyed to you and showed and demonstrated. You know I was the real deal, Paul says. Don't be ashamed of my chain. Many guys are that way. And I spoke to you last time in chapel about that, young people. Don't be ashamed of your pastor. You encourage your pastor. Don't think of him like an old fogey someplace. You know, like, oh, they don't understand how I feel because he doesn't know how to use an iPhone or he doesn't know how to use a computer. And No. These people, you wouldn't be saved if it weren't for them. You wouldn't be instructed. You wouldn't be sitting preparing for the work of the Lord. The old men of God, many of which are in heaven today, listen, they're not perfect. They're men at best. But don't trash them. Don't say, well, you know how he was. Oh, they have strengths and they have weaknesses. Get used to that. But treasure what they were. Don't be ashamed of those who stood for fundamental holiness. I was listening to Lester Roloff on the radio two mornings ago and listened to him. Boy, he was a hard charger, man. I tell you what, I think he just delighted to get someone mad in every message. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I thank God for that kind of a testimony. And there are some things, you know, he only baptized people once a year. One Sunday a year he baptized anyone who wanted to get baptized. I think we ought to do something a little different about that. But, you know, truth of the matter is, he had a lot of great things and has some questionable things. All right. I still thank God for his stand for the Lord and his faithfulness to the Lord. There's other folks who have difference of opinions about different things, but I thank God for those who have stayed true to the Word of God. But Paul's in a difficult state. And he references a guy named Onesiphorus. Aren't you glad your mother didn't name you that? Onesiphorus, and he tells Timothy, Timothy, I want you to take note of a guy named Onesiphorus because he is a good example of a friend. You know, sometimes you just need someone to step in when everyone else steps out. And I want to be that person. You don't have to cross your T's like I cross my T's. You don't have to dot your I's like I dot my I's. But everybody is going to need a friend. You're going to need a friend, but your focus should be on being that friend. Let's look at this real quickly, and we'll just make a couple observations, and we'll dismiss today. Look, if you would please, at verse number 15. For thou knowest that of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, this thou knowest, that all they of Asia have turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. So he said, you guys know that most of those guys from Ephesus, Asia, and that area have kind of really, I'm embarrassment to them. I'm in jail again, and they're ashamed of me, and they've no longer support or encourage me in these last days. By the way, sometimes serving the Lord is a lonely service. And it hurt him. He said, two of the guys who really were outspoken that they didn't want to be associated with me was Phygellus and Hermogenes. But then he says in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of who? Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. And the Lord granted to him that he may find mercy in that day, of the Lord in that day, and how many things that he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So this guy was a good example of friendship. And now I don't know everything. We don't have time to develop the message really, but I just want to give you a couple things I observed from Onesiphorus that I think is important for you and I to observe. And that is, to be a good friend, several things we need to do. Number one, we see that this man was a refreshing friend. Some of you were glad when you walk in the room. Some of you were glad when you walk out. And a lot of that has to do with what you bring in. Are you a refreshing friend? Do you come with criticisms? Do you come with skepticism? Do you come in with a sharp remark? Or do you come in with a word of encouragement, exhortation? It's so important. This guy was a refresher. He said he oft refreshed me. Even before he was ever in jail, this guy had an ability to encourage God's man. And I want to encourage you to say, Lord, help me to be a refreshing friend. Number two, I want you to know that he not only was a refreshing friend, he was a continual friend. He oft refreshed me. It was not a one time only. He went out of his way several times to help the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be in a blessing to that particular servant of Christ who did so much for the Lord? And listen, you may not be the point man, but you can encourage someone else in the trenches. You can encourage your roommate. You can encourage your bus captain. You may be encouraging the next pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond or your home church's pastor. You never know what God's going to do. Encourage them. This guy was a refreshing friend. He was a continual friend. Number three, he was an unashamed friend. Every once in a while, when people go through difficult times, people back away and watch rather than talk and communicate and find out what's really going on. How can I help you? You know, it's sometimes this guy, Paul's in jail again. And a lot of the guys like Phygellus and Hermogenes and other folks, you know, I'm just done with this guy. He's a jailbird. He can't stay out of jail. Always getting in problems. It's either a revival or a riot, and usually it's a riot. I'm out of here. I am not going to associate. It's an embarrassment. But not so with Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus was a refreshing friend. He was a continual friend, and he was not ashamed of Paul's affliction. He wasn't ashamed to go see him in jail. Matter of fact, he was an inconvenience friend. He went and searched very diligently, trying to find Paul in the city of Rome. When you are from Ephesus or Asia, was no walk in the park. We have phones today. We have emails. We have opportunities to text or WhatsApp someone. That they didn't have that. And he had to find out, where is he at? What part of the Rome? He was in a rented house. Now he's over here in this jail. He sought him out diligently, and he found him. By the way, if you're going to be a good friend, you've got to take it on the chin sometimes. You'll have to sacrifice. You know, one of the reasons we're here on this campus is because Brother Hiles had a few friends. And one of them was named Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson rarely ever spoke before that time in any setting. He was out putting drywall up on buildings and building apartments and working in trucking companies. But Brother Hiles was a good friend to him. And as a result of that, Brother Russell Anderson was a good friend to him. And the reason we have Hiles Anderson College is because of two friends who were sacrificial, unashamed, inconvenienced, refreshing friends. See, teamwork makes the dream work. The team acrostic, together, everyone accomplishes more. But you have to have a friendship in there. He was an obvious friend. Look at the last verse, if you would, please. It says here, how the many things that he ministered to me at Ephesus, and I want you to read the last four words, or would you read it with me? Thou knowest, one more time. It was not a secret. Everyone who saw Onesiphorus said, you know, oh yeah, Tim, I don't have to remind you that he's a good friend. He was an obvious friend. I want to encourage you to be an obvious friend. You know, I can't necessarily be close to everyone. Because some folks are just, I'm not good with them. When I get with them, bad things happen. And I don't like the way I am after I've been with them. But I can be gracious with everybody. And I can be a friend to everyone, and so can you. Could I encourage you to do what Onesiphorus shows us how to do? He was a refreshing friend. He was a continual friend. Not just once or twice. He was consistent in his friendship. He was unashamed. When everyone else stepped out, he stepped in. He was a friend that was obvious. Everyone knew that he was a friend. And I find also that he was a rewarded friend. The Bible says that the Lord grant mercy to Onesiphorus and his house in that day. You know, there's 2 days you ought to be concerned about. Today and that day. And that day is the day we answer to God and are rewarded by Him. And friends, if you'll be a good friend, and you'll be like Onesiphorus in these ways, you're going to find there are many rewards, not only for you, but for your house and your children. Some of you wonderful young people, you're blessed because your parents are good people. And their friendship has blessed you. Some of you say, well, Pastor, not me. Then you be a friend so that those of your children will be blessed because of you. Not only in this day, but in that day. Could I encourage you? You know, everybody can do this. Not everybody can make straight A's, even if you try. You're just crippled too high for crutches. You're just a too many French fries short of a happy meal. But you know, the truth of the matter is, not all of us can make straight A's and graduate magna cum laude. Some of us just graduate thank you, laude. Not everybody is going to marry before they leave college. Not everyone is going to fulfill all their expectations in their life. But you know, everyone can be a good friend. And I think when we do that, there is a reward for being an obvious, unashamed, refreshing, continual friend. Let's pray that God will help us with that. Let's pray together, can we? Father, we've heard so many good things today from our visiting guest. Would you please help us to take those things and not just to be application fat, information fat and application skinny, but help us to put these into process. And I pray that God, you would supernaturally help us to be good friends. There are certain things that friendship should be. They should encourage. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, refreshing others around us. Please help us. I pray you'd help us to just be consistent in our friendship. Sometimes friends have to stab you in the front and say, you know what, I don't think that was the best response you made there. Let's ask God to help you with that. Help us to be a good friend. Help us to be someone who is unashamed and someone who is obvious and someone who will be rewarded. Reward our student body, our staff and faculty. Reward us for being the friend that Onesiphorus was to the Apostle Paul. Help us to be that for others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Can we all stand together? Class will start at